Welcome to Faith Out Loud Canada, sharing the Christ who cares together through practical Bible teachings. This is your host, Dan Purdy, connecting you with the pastoral staff and leadership team of Church in the Valley in Langley, British Columbia. Over the next 30 minutes, listen as inspirational speakers apply key Bible passages, parables, and stories to your modern life. Learn to enjoy God's never-ending love for you and to daily accept His greatest gifts. This brief time together will fill you with hope and confidence while teaching you to live your faith out loud. Today's presentation is entitled Courage for Everyday Living, based on Joshua 1, 6 through 8. Join us now as lead pastor Dr. David Jamieson begins sharing the Christ who cares together through Faith Out Loud Canada.
For the last few weeks, we've been talking about Eden's endangered species. We've been talking about the fact that when God created this world, that He created a myriad of plants and animals of many varieties, shapes, sizes, and colors. We talked about the fact that when sin entered our world, that this wonderful collage of animals and plants that God had created began to experience the havocs of sin, and many of the plants and animals in our world today have become endangered. But we also talked about the fact that the plants and animals of creation are not the only things in Eden that are facing extinction. They're not the only things in Eden that are endangered. That many of the noble traits and qualities and virtues that God instilled into Adam and Eve have been disappearing from our planet at an alarming rate. And today there are many endangered character qualities as well. Last time we talked about Daniel and how he was taken captive from Jerusalem into Babylon. And when he got there, he faced numerous challenges. One of them was dealing with his diet. And we discovered that Daniel possessed the rare and endangered character quality of self-discipline. And in that message, we outlined five secrets to the science of self-discipline. First of all, if you'd like to have self-discipline in your life, you need to determine how you want to live. You must visualize what you want your life to be and to head in that direction. Secondly, we determined that you need to decide to master yourself, that you need to make some advanced decisions in your life, that if you're going to be a self-disciplined person, that the very first person that you need to master is yourself. You can't look at other people. You have to win the victory over yourself first. Thirdly, we determine that if you want to have self-discipline in your life, you need to delay gratification in your life. You remember the story of the kids and the marshmallows? And how many of the kids had to eat the marshmallow right away. They couldn't wait for 20 minutes for the reward. Well, in our world today, there are many, many people who just want everything now. They want to experience the rewards of this life now instead of looking for the rewards that will come in eternity when Jesus comes. We need to make a choice to delay gratification in our lives. And fourthly, we determine that we need to daily persevere through the temptation if we're going to have self-discipline. We have got to persevere. We have got to endure our way through, because at the end of the day, we will discover how God rewards the faithful, how God never fails, how His promises are certain and sure. We read this quote every Sabbath as well. Jesus Christ, the only person who has ever consistently excelled in every character quality we could name, offers to develop His character in us so that we might live abundantly happy lives now and in eternity. This is what Jesus wants for you as an individual. This is what Jesus wants for the Aldergrove congregation. He wants us to begin to exhibit these endangered character qualities to our world so that people all around us in Aldergrove, Abbotsford, Langley, and beyond will know that Jesus is alive, and they will know that there are a group of people who wish to be like Him, a group of people that will attract them to the eternity that Jesus is preparing. Well, we want to continue our series this morning, Eden's Endangered Species, by taking a look at another old and familiar story about another rare and endangered character quality. I'm reading now in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, but it's here on the screen. Joshua 1, verse 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot.'" Isn't that amazing? "I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it." How long? "Day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Wow. What an incredible passage of Scripture to read this morning. What an incredible inspiration this must have been to Joshua. Because Joshua never dreamed that he would be camped east of the Jordan River some 40 years after he had first arrived there to look into the Promised Land. Joshua had watched all of his contemporaries die in the wilderness, just as God had said. It was a tragic story, because Israel as a nation had limited the Holy One of Israel, and they were afraid to go up and to possess the land. But Joshua, even though a young man at the time, was not an ordinary young man in at least one respect. He wasn't living in ordinary times, but he wasn't an ordinary man in one respect, because many young people would have been discouraged had they had to follow around a group of chronic complainers in the wilderness for 40 long years. They would have long given up on the church. They would have long given up on the idea of entering into the Promised Land, but Joshua did not do so, because Joshua possessed the rare and endangered character quality of courage. All throughout his life, he demonstrated indomitable courage. It's quite interesting. If you were to go into a concordance and look up the very first time that the word courage is used in the Bible, you would turn to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 20, the story of Joshua and Caleb, how they gave a very positive, courageous report about going up to possess the Promised Land. Joshua possessed the rare and endangered character quality of courage. It's one of the most important qualities that a person can have. It's one of the most important qualities that a leader can have. But let me ask you this morning, are you a courageous person? Are you a courageous person? Answer these questions, true or false. I stand up for what is right, even if I stand alone. True or false? Answer it in your own thoughts. That was honest, though. I don't cave in to negative peer pressure. True or false? Fear of failure doesn't prevent me from trying. True or false? And number four, I am not afraid to express myself even when others disagree or disapprove. Are you a courageous person? If you answered true to all those, you are indeed a courageous person. If you answered false to all those, you need to work on your courage. And if you answered some true and some false, you're in between in regards to being a courageous person. But let me ask you this morning, what is courage? When we think of courage in our days, we think of the firemen going into the Twin Trade Center towers in New York and bringing people out amidst that catastrophe. We think of people helping someone by jumping into the water and rescuing someone who's drowning. We think of all of these wonderful acts. But could courage be much more than that? I'd like to suggest to you this morning that we need to have courage for everyday living. We need to have courage for our relationships, in our marriages. It takes courage to raise kids today. It takes courage to be a part of a church family today. It takes courage to be a Christian. Did you know that? Some people think that Christianity is a crutch, but it's the opposite. It takes courage to be a Christian. It takes courage to say, I'm going to follow a God that I have not seen. It takes courage to say that I'm going to be baptized publicly in front of a whole lot of people to demonstrate my belief in God. It takes courage to confess your sins to God. It takes courage in every aspect of our Christian relationship with God, being vulnerable to Him and vulnerable to others at the same time. You know, it takes courage in our world today to be pure, to be moral, to be different. It takes courage to say, I am sorry when I am wrong. We need courage for everyday living. But what is courage? Courage is bravery, valor, and fearlessness, yes. Some would say it's guts and grit and backbone. Some would say it's facing your fears and walking through them. It is doing what is right regardless of circumstances. It is the willingness to be afraid, and I like this, the willingness to be afraid and to do what? To act anyway. And I really like the last one. It says, what is courage? It is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. Going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. In his book entitled Courage is a Three-Letter Word, Walter Anderson spoke these words. He said, courage is saying yes to life instead of backing down when we face adversity. It is acting with fear, not without it. And then Aristotle wrote, you will never do anything in this world without courage. It is the greatest quality of mind next to honor. Did you know that the word courage comes from the French word for heart? That's why when... Thank you, Pastor Francis, being from Quebec. That's why when people think of courage, they don't think of what is in the mind. They think of what is in the heart. Because courage is being able to stand by what you believe in your heart. Courage is being able to stand by what is at your core. Courage is being able to stand up for your convictions, though hell or high water may come. That is what courage is, and you will never do anything in this world without it. It is the greatest quality of mind next to honor. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, God says this about Christians in New Testament times. This is how God wants Christians to live in our day. It says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity and fear, but a spirit of boldness, love, and self-discipline. God is looking for people to be courageous as they live their Christianity during the crises of the last days of Earth's history. But how is it that we go about developing courage into our lives? It is indeed a rare and endangered character quality. What was the strategy of Joshua for developing courage into his life? Because if we follow his example this morning, I believe that we will find the secrets for courage for everyday living. And first of all, courage comes from a profound sense of purpose. Notice what it says in Joshua 1 and verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, and Moses, my servant, is dead, the Lord said. And then he said, now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give you. Joshua realized that God had called him for a special purpose. Joshua realized that God had something important for him to do, that when God spoke to him, that God was setting the parameters of his life's task. But this was not the only time that God had spoken to Joshua. Have you ever wondered why it was that God asked for Moses to bring Joshua up to the top of Mount Sinai with him? Was it that Moses needed someone to help him as an old man to get up to the mountain? That he needed someone to go with him in case he got lost? I believe there was much more to it than that. That this meeting that Joshua experienced along with Moses, this divine meeting at the top of Mount Sinai, was something in which Joshua was allowed to participate because God was already working on this young man's mind and heart and life. That God wanted this experience to be a watershed experience, an incredible divine encounter that would open up Joshua's mind to a special and profound purpose that God had for his life. You see, I believe this morning that if you and I have a profound sense of purpose in our lives, that if we know what it is that God is calling us to do, that that profound sense of purpose will bring us great courage as we live our everyday lives. Hudson Taylor had a very heavy burden in his heart for the nation of China. He prayed about being a missionary to China. He read the scriptures, and as he read the scriptures, he felt convinced that God was calling him, that God had a plan and a purpose for him to go into China to reach the vast region and the populace of China for Christ. There was only one problem. He didn't have any money. And when he went to the missionary agencies to help support the venture, they all laughed at him and said, "This is ludicrous. You can't win China. You're just one person." But somehow, because Hudson Taylor realized that God had a special purpose for his life, and because he had encountered God in the scriptures as he read them, and because he had encountered God every morning as he prayed, he realized that when you encounter God, that you are never the same. He realized that when you encounter God as he is, and you see him for what he is, that there are limitless possibilities, even to what one person can do when they step forward in courage and faith. And so what did Hudson Taylor do? He moved forward and he set sail for China. And you know the rest of the story, how he single-handedly was used by God to reach out to thousands of Chinese people throughout that land. Well, you know something? Centuries before Hudson Taylor, Joshua had the same attitude. Joshua realized that when you have a profound sense of purpose in your life, then you find great courage. And I ask you this morning, are you a courageous person? Are you a courageous Christian? Have you found a sense of purpose in your life? The second secret this morning for developing courage for everyday living is to realize that courage comes from facing your fears. Notice what God said to Joshua in Joshua 1 and verse 6. He said, "Be strong and courageous because who? You will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." Now, wait a minute here. He said, "Listen, I know Moses. Moses had a stellar track record. Moses set an incredibly high standard. Why, when Moses encountered God and spoke with God, he came back down from the mountain and his face had a supernatural glow about it. When there was a sea that blocked the way, what did Moses do? He parted it. When his countrymen were hungry, he fed them by calling down manna and quail. When they were thirsty, he gave them water. When people began to criticize, they got leprosy. When some rebelled outrightly against him and God, the earth swallowed them up. The Holy Spirit had poured out his power on Moses in an unprecedented way. And you want me to lead these people? Me? You can understand it. I think if you were in his shoes, you would say exactly the same thing. You would say, wait a minute. There are 2 million people here. And he said, I know. I have traveled with them for 40 years. They've complained about everything. They're a cantankerous bunch. They grumble. And you want me to lead them? I believe that Joshua was afraid. I believe that if there was ever a moment that he experienced anxiety, this was it. If there was ever a moment that he began to tremble, this was it. If there was ever a moment that he began to experience self-distrust, this was it. After all, it's natural to be afraid, isn't it? You're afraid of some things. I'm afraid of some things. Everybody is afraid of something. In fact, many of us are afraid of many things. But the second secret to developing courage in your life is to face your fears and to walk through them. And so Joshua had to say to himself, Moses anointed me to be his successor. And now he is gone. I have to step up to the plate. I have to rise to the calling and the challenge. I need to face my fears and walk through them. You know, there's an amazing thing about facing your fears. Every time you face your fears, every time you confront them, you diminish those fears. Every time you overcome a fear through courage, you are sounding the death knell of that fear. Billy and Jake were out playing in their neighbor's backyard. And there was a large Great Dane chained in the backyard. He wasn't a very friendly dog. He barked. They would run up to the chain, and the chain only came so far, and so they felt secure. And they continued to play. The dog didn't pay much attention, but every time that the ball went close enough, they would go up and pick it up. He growled. Billy was 10. His little brother Jake was 6. Mom and Dad knew that they were playing in the backyard. And all of a sudden, they began to hear screams. They'd heard the boys carrying on before and fighting with each other before, but this was different. Now they were hearing shrieks. Dad quickly got up from the television that he was watching and ran outside, and all he saw was Billy holding his arm, and his arm was mangled and bleeding, and he knew, oh boy, we're off to the hospital again. He took Billy to the hospital, and while they were there, Jake, through his sniffling and his crying and all of his upsetness, began to tell the story of how he had run into where the dog was to get the ball and had run just a little bit too close, and the dog had grabbed a hold of him. But Dad had always told Billy, when you play with your brother Jake, I've heard this before and maybe you have, you make sure you take care of your younger brother. Don't let anything happen to him or else. You ever heard that? He was afraid of dogs. He didn't go near that dog. He wasn't crazy enough to do that. He stayed as far away as he could. But now the dog had Jake in its grasp. Without thinking, Billy ran up behind the back of that dog and put a headlock on it. And he shook it. And he began to ride it like a horse through the yard. And little Jake was able to get away. But now Billy was there with the dog still on its back, and what was he going to do? He quickly let go of the headlock and began to run to get out of the yard, and the dog grabbed him by his arm and began to mangle it. And he needed surgery. Jake always thought that Billy was a good brother, but now he looked at him as someone who was courageous, someone who was able to face his fears and to walk through them. If you want to have courage in your life, you need to face your fears, whatever they may be, and you need to walk through them. There's a third secret this morning for having courage for everyday living, and that is to develop a habit of spontaneous obedience. To develop a habit of spontaneous obedience. Notice what it says in verse 7. It says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Do you realize that in order to have courage for everyday living, you have to have a profound sense of purpose? You do. That is what motivates you to carry on. Secondly, you have to face your fears and walk through them. And thirdly, you have to develop a spontaneous habit of obedience. It means you can't think about your fears. You've got to act on them right away, because if you begin to think about your fear for too long, what happens? You begin to backtrack from it and you say, "No, I can't go on that ride. I can't do that. I can't. Another time." We need to develop a spontaneous habit of obedience in our lives. You see, all that stood between God's people and God's promises was their obedience. All that stood between them and God's promises was their obedience. And Joshua began to realize that God is setting the agenda for my life, and I should do one thing. I should go about immediately being busy in obedience.
Join us next time for the exciting conclusion to this presentation by Lead Pastor Dr. David Jameson. We certainly hope that today's message demonstrated God's powerful love for you and encouraged you to seek a deeper relationship with Him. Perhaps you are struggling with something in your life with which you need help. It could be your finances, your job, a relationship. Perhaps it's an addiction or something else that you're concerned about. Don't miss the opportunity to call on Jesus to help you. The pastoral staff and leadership team at Church in the Valley can help you have a dynamic, personal relationship with God and show you how to be of service to others in your community. Check out our free online resources at churchinthevalley.ca. Our popular audio and video archives are only a click away. This is your host, Dan Purdy, thanking you for sharing the Christ Who Cares together with us. Until next time, share your faith out loud, Canada.